Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Monday, May 6, 2024. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you had a great week and a great weekend. Sorry this is a late Monday upload of the Weekender for y'all. But the reason being, there was some big shows that all aired live yesterday, so I didn't have time to record it afterwards last night, and then I had my shoot job today, so I couldn't record during the day. So that's why you're all getting a late Monday upload. You know, I like to get these out on Sundays for y'all, but I think you understand it just wouldn't have made sense considering the shows that aired yesterday were Black Label Pro, GCW, and House of Glory. So I needed to definitely include those on the, you know, the results here for the Weekender, because those are three huge indie companies that we always try to cover right here on the Weekender for y'all. So appreciate y'all as always for bearing with me. As I mentioned, preferably these would go out on Sundays for y'all, but it just wouldn't have made sense to upload this and do this episode without including those shows. And this was the soonest I could be able to do that and upload it for y'all. So once again, appreciate y'all as always for listening to the show. And we got a lot of results on today's episode. So let's go through the topics and jump into it. On this edition of the Weekender, we have results for ICW No Holds Barred. No Holds Barred Volume 63 included a big title change in the main event. We're going to talk about that. Also had Black Label Pro's Showdown at the Shoreline. GCW had two shows this weekend, one on Friday and then one on Sunday. We had GCW's Rather You Than Me and also Gringo Loco's The World on Lucha. We have results for House of Glory Cinco de Mayo. We got Glory Pro's Ascend Episode 34. Actually, Episode 35 aired today. Within like the last 24 hours it was uploaded. But we'll talk about that, we'll talk about that next weekend. This week we'll get caught up on episode 34, and then we'll get to episode 35 on the next episode of the Weekender. Also have results for Wrestling Open. Haven't gone over results for Wrestling Open in quite a while, so glad to do some of those today. Had some great talent on those shows and some people I wanted to highlight. Also have results for NXT Level Up and NWA Power, which included a cage match. So once again, lists of whole topics here, all results, no spoilers, no predictions, just straight results today. ICW NHB, BLP, two GCW shows, HOG, Glory Pro, Wrestling Open, NXT Level Up, and NWA Power. And you know what, real quick before I get into those topics, I also forgot to mention at the top of the show, happy Cinco de Mayo to all that celebrate, or, you know, anyone who just was out having a good time over the weekend. I hope that everyone was safe. I don't think I drank one sip of alcohol for Cinco de Mayo. That was yesterday at the time of this recording, being May 5th, of course. Today's May 6th. But it's not to say that I don't drink at all. I used to drink a lot, and I don't recommend anyone ever drink the amount that I used to drink. Now and then I drink like a Bloody Mary, you know, just to kind of relax nowadays. But nothing serious, right? It's more so, honestly, because I like the taste of the Bloody Marys. I like the heat. It's a weird drink. If you like Bloody Marys, you love them. If you don't, they're like the most disgusting drink in the world. So I get it. I didn't like them. It's an acquired taste for me. I didn't like them until I was a bit older. But that all said, I don't think I had one sip of alcohol yesterday for Cinco de Mayo. Just kind of hung out, played video games. Actually, I'm a decade late, but I'm playing through South Park Stick of Truth right now. And I am really, really, really enjoying it. I'm a massive South Park fan, and I bought this game on the 360 years ago and just never really got around to playing it. And now I have a PS5, and I downloaded the PS4 version onto it because, you know, the graphics make no difference for you know, a game like that. But I wound up getting it because it was on, like, super discount. And I played that pretty much all day yesterday instead of drinking for Cinco de Mayo. But I hope that everybody, once again, that, you know, celebrated, that's listening to this right now, drank responsibly, had a designated driver, Uber, whatever, you know, go out there, have fun, have a good time, but be safe. And if you're like me nowadays and you just hung out and did nothing and hung out with your brother and your buddies, or just hung out by yourself, I'm right there with you. So wanted to mention that because, once again, Cinco de Mayo was this past weekend. And also this past weekend, on Saturday afternoon, was WWE Backlash from France, and I loved that show. I know a lot of people will hear me really, you know, talking about how much I love the WWE lately. And a lot of people will hear me saying these things and be like, well, of course you're saying this because, you know, you're a lifelong Cody fan and he's finally the champion. So of course you're loving the WWE. But not just that. Obviously, anybody who watched that show and experienced that, you know, the crowd reactions the entire night for everybody, just awesome environment, awesome crowd. I think WWE is so smart. It kind of sucks for the U.S. fans, unfortunately, because like we don't get the PLEs as often, and we definitely won't be, you know, as much going forward because of how successful they've been internationally. But I understand why WWE is doing it, and it creates a great viewing experience for me as someone in the audience watching from home. I think it's awesome when WWE goes into these markets that they're not in often. Places, you know, all over the world where a lot of these places, like, English isn't even the number one most spoke language where they're at, and they're still singing all of the theme songs in English, you know, and, like, it's just crazy how much the WWE and pro wrestling and in general just, like, honestly really transcends. It's like MMA does the same thing, you know, sports, you know, and the NBA is big internationally, and of course, soccer is, you know, humongous internationally and stuff like that. But pro wrestling is right there with that stuff as far as, like, you know, if you love it, it doesn't matter where you're from. Everyone's the same. And I just, it's honestly beautiful. And to see that whole Backlash show, I've thoroughly enjoyed all the WWE PLEs that I've been watching over the last, you know, probably the last, like, 3 years since, like, Cody came back when I started watching all the PLEs again. You know, I shouldn't say that. I've always watched the PLEs and the pay-per-views. I never stopped watching those, but there was a real lull period for me as a WWE fan where I was not interested in anything that they were doing on that show, on any of the shows. And I just kind of watched the PLEs because, like, why not? I'm already, you know, subscribed to Peacock, or, you know, the WWE Network was a great deal when, you know, when I had that. So, anyways, that all said, whenever Cody came back to the WWE, I was like, well, I'm going to definitely try to get more into this because I'm such a Cody mark. And now, obviously, I'm mega into it. I consider myself a WWE kid once again. So, although no tribalism here, I love AEW. You know what I mean? And I love a lot of that because look who founded it. You know what I mean? But anyways, I really, really, really enjoyed Backlash, and I just thought the show was great from top to bottom. And I just massive, massive shout out to those fans. And they announced that WrestleMania is going to be in Las Vegas next year, which is going to be wild. They're going to be doing, I think it's Easter weekend because it's the 19th and the 20th, which is smart probably from, like, a Vegas sense, because, like, people don't travel to, I'd imagine people don't really, like, travel to Las Vegas for Easter. You know what I mean? But, you know, I do feel bad for Minnesota. You know, it was heavily rumored that Minnesota was going to be the location, and I'm a lifelong diehard fan of the Minnesota Vikings, and that would have been really cool to see that happen in their stadium, you know, where the Vikings play. But, you know, I also understand Vegas is going to be a blast for people who go out there. And also 420, you know, 420 in Vegas, where, I mean, I'm not telling anyone what to do. Just like the drinking, you know, use responsibly, be an adult. Don't let any of my decisions sway you one way or the other for anything. This show is for entertainment purpose only. No life, no real life advice going down here. But, you know, in Las Vegas, you can buy weed on the strip, smoke it in front of a police officer, and no one's going to do anything about it. And it's just going to be a pretty crazy experience, I think, and probably a lot of fun for a lot of people, probably annoying for others. But I just think it's wild. It's going to be 420 in Vegas for WrestleMania. So I don't know. Maybe I don't do airplanes. Maybe I'll anymore. Maybe I'll make the drive for Las Vegas WrestleMania next year. Who knows? But anyway, let's get into these topics for the weekend. Or I wanted to talk a little bit about the weekend. I felt like I had to bring up Cinco de Mayo, and I've definitely had to bring up Backlash. So appreciate y'all, you know, who come here for the indie wrestling talk. Let me have my little monologue before we get into all this. So And also, it's been a long day. It's been a long day, y'all. A lot of work, a lot of personal stuff going on. I am mentally fried right now in a lot of ways, but I am happy to be talking about professional wrestling right now with y'all. More specifically, some indie wrestling. So, first set of results we got, ICW No Holds Barred, Volume 63. This show took place out of Chicago, Illinois on May the 4th, which is, I didn't even mention that in my whole monologue, Star Wars Day. I'm not a Star Wars fan, so that day does nothing for me, but I have plenty of friends who are very, very heavily invested in the Star Wars galaxy, universe, whatever you would call it. So there was that this weekend, too. If you're a Star Wars nerd, big, big weekend. But this show, ICW NHB Volume 63, took place once again on May the 4th, Star Wars Day, from Chicago, Illinois. It aired on independentwrestling.tv. You can use code FIGHTTALK, FIGHTTALK. All as one word, no spaces. Put that in the promo code spot on independentwrestling.tv, and it lets the platform know that I sent you their way. Appreciate y'all when you use that code. We had all death matches, and for those who might be new to ICW, what they'll do is they'll have like shows that are sometimes like chain link instead of ropes, which was the case for this show. But a lot of the time they'll do like a pit or like a steel cage or like a literal, like they'll just like mark out like spots like a beach and like sand and like fight there pretty much. So all different types of fight environments for ICW and NHB. This one, as I mentioned, all took place in the chains, and every match on this show is essentially a death match, no holds barred, anything goes type scenario. We're just going to call them death matches. Show started off with Malcolm Monroe III over Jake Crist. MM3, myself and Jeremy actually talked about a little bit on the spotlight this past Thursday. The match he had with Gary J at last weekend's ICW NHB in the steel cage. We actually spotlighted that as basically our main indie match that we talked about. And then we had Moe's on the show this past Thursday, who was promoting his KOBK One More event that's going to be airing on IWTV very soon. Might even be available by the time you'll listen to this. So definitely check that show out. But Moe's is also a commentator for Action Wrestling. And the other main thing we talked about, we pretty much used the Moe's interview and talked about this stuff as another indie spotlight, kind of to a degree. But shout out to Manders, who won the Action Wrestling Championship from Alex Kane last weekend. We talked about that on the Weekender, also talked about it on the spotlight. But trying to show some more love to MM3, very, very talented guy. And got that link up with Tommy Vendetta and Darren McCarty, so definitely a lot of big things happening for MM3. Gets the win over Jake Crist. We had a death match where Mickey Knuckles and Randy West defeated the Goons, Lizzie Blair and Peyton Blair. We had a death match as if like these aren't all death matches. We had Otis Kogar over Tommy Vendetta, who I just mentioned, aka Thomas Oliver Vendetta. Big result in the main event for Otis's brother, which I'm going to definitely talk about here in a second. Tommy, I've probably said this plenty of times throughout the years here on the Weekender, but for my money, Tommy Vendetta is on a short list of my favorite deathmatch wrestlers, like quote-unquote deathmatch wrestlers. I'd say he's probably top five of like my favorite deathmatch guys. The lovable psychopath. We had Dr. Redacted over Eric Dillinger. I'll never forget Dr. Redacted, but back when he was Dr. Cube, probably told this story before, but there's a part of the story I can't tell because it involves somebody that I... How can I tell this story and it not... You know what? Okay. This is a pretty safe way of telling this story. This is kind of an exclusive. I don't know if I've told this anywhere else. There was a... I honestly don't remember what show this took place on. It might have been like a Violence X Suffering show or something like that. This was probably like 2 years ago or so. I believe it was during the pandemic, maybe right when the pandemic was ending. But there was a show that I had friends that were wrestling on and working on. So, gosh, how do I tell this? Essentially, Dr. Redacted, when he was Dr. Cube, had a death match. And as this death match was happening, backstage, Loki was telling the locker room, like, he was essentially threatening the locker room, telling them, if I step on or fall on any glass or light tubes or tacks, like, basically, if that ring isn't spotless by the time I go out there and wrestle, because he was like the next match, and they were doing like a death match like before the main event, which wasn't a death match. So essentially, from what I've heard, allegedly, Loki made some very strong suggestions. We'll just I don't want to say threats. He made some very strong suggestions to the locker room that they make sure that that ring and everything around the ring was cleaned before he went out there and wrestled. And the reason I remember this so much when I talk about Dr. Redacted was because he was formerly Dr. Cube. And when he was Dr. Cube, he used to wear this giant cardboard, like, this, like, giant cardboard, I mean, like, cube on his head, almost like Osimo from South Park. It didn't really look like that, but it was, like, the shape of that. And I'll just never forget, because I didn't know this story until after the event happened. I talked to some people that were there about this, but while I was watching live, I noticed that they had the Dr. Cube, like cube head, like the helmet, mask, whatever you want to call it, just the giant cardboard box that he wore on his head. They had that thing, and there was like three people that were using it and like sweeping like glass and all this like debris into this cube head, because you just knew that someone backstage had relayed, like, make sure there is nothing out there. Loki's gonna lose it if he steps on glass. So they were using the cube head to like sweep all this stuff out of the ring. I just thought it looked really funny. So when I wound up talking to somebody that was at the show about this, I was like, what was up with like the cleanup like after that match? And they told me that, that happened because, Loki was like, you got to make sure that it's clean out there. So anyway, I'll just never forget that. That's a story that like is only funny, or as funny it is to me, if you know how intense Loki is and like stories about Loki and like how just serious he is. So the fact that he made, they were so afraid of what would happen if he landed on glass that they wound up using the cube head as like, a sweeping device. It was so funny. Anyways, moving on. We had Bobby Beverly, aka the Bev, over Danny DeMonto. Danny DeMonto, of course, is the promoter of ICW NHB. And as Mose will mention on commentary, and I kind of joke myself, death, taxes, and DeMonto addressing the crowd. You can always expect DeMonto to grab a microphone and talk to the crowd at every one of these shows, as he should. I mean, he's like the guy waving the flag for his own company at all times. I totally get it. He also, for those of you who may not know, DeMonto used to be the business partner of Brett Lauderdale when Brett took over GCW. Excuse me, when Brett took over GCW, his business partner was Danny DeMonto. And I don't know what happened between the two of them, why they split off or whatever, but like, just an interesting fun fact. We had Hoodfoot over Matthew Justice, two of my favorite guys in the whole scene. As I was talking about, Tommy Vendetta being a top five deathmatch guy for me, Hoodfoot's definitely a top five, probably more of like a top one to three. I mean, depending on what day you ask me, Hoodfoot might be my favorite deathmatch guy in the whole world. Matthew Justice, for people who don't know, Matthew Justice was actually in the WWE like 10 years ago. I rarely ever bring that up, but just kind of worth mentioning, because I've heard people be like, man, I'm surprised Matthew Justice, never made it to like a bigger stage. And like he was there very, very, long time ago. But, totally different performer now, totally different, a whole, second year, if you will. But obviously he's been killing it in MLW, GCW, all over the place, but pretty cool environment here, Hoodfoot over Justice. And then the main event of the show, we had the ICW American Deathmatch World title on the line. Atticus Kogar defeats Killdozer, a.k.a. Matt Tremont, to become the new champion. Huge win for Atticus. I think that most people would put Matt Tremont on their deathmatch Mount Rushmore. Like, if there was, like, a deathmatch wrestling all-time Mount Rushmore, I think Tremont would be on a lot of people's lists. Or he'd be heavily considered on most people's lists, I think, at the very least. The way that this match goes down is essentially 440 helps Atticus out. At one point, Atticus uses the skewers. I mean, he puts a ton of them into Tremont's head, as you'd expect. Tremont's got a forever hematoma on his head that's just like, it's just like ready for deathmatch weapons at all times. And he's just always ready to bleed. The thing is gnarly. But Atticus, after doing a whole bunch of skewers to the head of Killdozer, can't put him away, and referee Shiny Shoes, a.k.a. Cody Manhorn, Shiny Shoes winds up getting the skewers to the dome also. Atticus is completely covered in blood in this one. They tear the ring apart. Eventually, Atticus puts the chains around Killdozer's neck, that like basically the what were the ropes pretty much for the ring, with the chain link instead. Atticus grabs those and wraps them around Killdozer's neck and just kind of pretty much does almost like a leg choke while he's using the chain. So really, really brutal finish, as far as like just looks like Atticus killed him, and Atticus looks dead himself. He's just completely covered in blood. But he's out there celebrating with his brother, Atticus Kogar, Bobby Beverly, the other member that's in the house there that night for 440. So, big win for Atticus. He is a guy who, I don't know what the hell happened between Atticus Kogar and GCW, but I was convinced during RSP's long title run with the GCW World title that Atticus Kogar was going to be the one to beat him, and if not, he was going to be the one to beat Nick Gage for it after Nick Gage beat RSP for it. Although, you know, obviously when Gage beat RSP, that led to Mox versus Gage, which was legendary in itself. So, you know, great stuff happened coming out of the RSP title feud. But for the longest time, the leader of 440 on GCW was RSP, and his right-hand man was Atticus Kogar. And it felt like Atticus was for sure at some point going to become the GCW World Champion. Then he had some sort of huge falling out with the company, similar to RSP. You know, it's pretty wild how 440 was probably the most heavily featured act collectively when you have, you know, at one point they had probably like six or so members that were appearing on a regular basis. And all the way from the opening match, the tag team scene, to the main events, it was covered in 440, always, you know, interfering in one another's matches and stuff as well. So, anyway, it's one of those things where it's just, like, just pretty wild that there was never, like, I shouldn't say there was never a payoff, because there was a payoff for Gage beating RSP, but then we never really got, like, the payoff of, like, Atticus becoming the top guy there, because it just felt like that was so obviously going to happen at some point. But that said, still in a great spot. When I think of deathmatch wrestling, he's another guy I always think about. And those skewers, you know you're going to see him when you see Atticus Kogar. That guy is brutal. He is vicious. And he is your ICW American Deathmatch World Champion. Moving on, got results for Game Changer Wrestling. Got two shows of results for GCW. Got Rather You Than Me and then Gringo Loco's The World on Lucha. All of these shows are available on Triller TV Plus, formerly Fight Plus. That goes for the next like four sets of results that I've got for y'all, all on Triller TV. So definitely get your money's worth over there for like $8 a month or whatever it is now. Go check it out. I'm not endorsed or sponsored to tell you guys that. But I think you're missing out if you're a pro wrestling fan and you're not subscribed. You just get a ton of value over there, in my opinion, including, once again, both of these GCW shows. First set of results is Rather You Than Me. The show took place on Friday night, which was May the 3rd, and this was from Tampa, Florida. At the beginning of the show, we find out that Matt Cardona has become the self-appointed general manager of GCW. That's going to become very important later in the show. We had Megan Bain over Broski Jimmy, Mr. Danger over Eli Knight. I love seeing Mr. Danger and Eli Knight, by the way, going at it. I've talked quite a bit about both these guys over the years, but like more recently, Mr. Danger has been blowing up a lot, specifically in GCW. He's an Atlanta guy, an AR Fox guy. Eli Knight, I've been aware of for quite a while, and I've gotten to see him in the Chattanooga area and the Atlanta area. I believe he's, I want to say like he's actually out of Florida, but I always see him in like the Southeast. And he's also done a lot of stuff with Culture Inc. as a tag team. We talk about them quite a bit, have for quite a while. So, Action Wrestling as well. Former Action Wrestling tag team champion, as a matter of fact. So, that all said, two guys that I'm a very big fan of that are still really slept on in a lot of ways, in my opinion. After that, we had a six-person tag match with the Garbage Daddies. Well, actually, Garbage Starks. I just said that super outright style. Garbage Starks, which is the Garbage Daddies, Alec Price and Cole Radrick, along with Billy Starks. They defeat Jack Cartwheel and Los Desperados, the team of Gringo Loco and Arez. We had Jordan Oliver over Timothy Thatcher. Great to see Jordan Oliver back in GCW and JCW on a more regular basis again. Really cool that he had his excursions internationally. But selfishly, I did miss seeing Jordo. But if he goes back, to other countries and stuff to do his thing, more power to him. The more people I can see Jordan Oliver, the better. Once again, as a fan, I miss seeing him, and it's good to see him back consistently again. We had Zilla Fatu over John Wayne Murdoch. Zilla Fatu, I've said 1,000 times, it's just a matter of time before you see him in the WWE. He is a new Umaga. He is Umaga's actual son. He looks like Umaga. He wrestles like Umaga, but in a good way. Like, I mean these as compliments. I feel like he's even more Umaga vibes than Solo Sikoa is, who's basically doing Umaga's gimmick for the most part. I shouldn't say gimmick for the most part. He's doing the spike, and he has a similar look and a similar vibe to Umaga, with the tape thumb and everything, being a crazy monster and all this stuff. But Zilla, I feel like, is going to be money. He's just newer. It's just a matter of, timing and stuff. But I feel like we're going to see more Bloodline members soon because I mentioned Backlash was this weekend, but one of the big debuts or returns, I should really technically say, well, debut and return. So we had a debut match from Tama Tonga, who was in that tag team match. Him and Solo defeated Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. But during that match, Tonga Loa, formerly Camacho, so that's why I say a return, Tama Tonga made his WWE in-ring debut because he had never been in WWE before. But Tonga Loa had a previous run in the WWE as Camacho, along with Unico, who became, this is going to sound so confusing, Unico was the fake Sin Cara that became the real Sin Cara eventually. Well, I say real Sin Cara because he was the guy in the fake Sin Cara suit feuding with Sin Cara, and then the guy who was in the actual Sin Cara suit got fired or whatever, and then Unico went from the fake suit into the real suit basically, and just played the real guy for years after that. Super confusing. Anyway, if you remember, they used to come out on a bike with pegs or something like that. I just remember it was Unico would be on the back and Camacho would pedal the bike or something. That's pretty much all I remember from his initial run. But I've been watching him as Tonga Loa for quite a long time in New Japan and in other companies, I believe Ring of Honor years back as well, a little bit. But he's most famously known recently for those strikes on Okada that have gone viral and will continue to probably go viral for a while whenever we see him on our screens. But it is pretty cool, the idea of G.O.D., Rules of Destiny, the team of Tonga Loa and Tama Tonga taking on Jimmy and Jay, the Usos. Like, that's going to definitely happen soon. But the reason that I say all this is because now that Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa have debuted, and we also have Solo Sikoa acting pretty much as like the leader, although I think the real leader is The Rock. He's the one making the orders, I think. And Paul Heyman is just scared at this point being associated. Jacob Fatu, everyone suspects that he's going to be there soon. The only downside to Jacob is I don't know if, I think there's some stuff that's going to prevent him from wrestling some places. I'll just leave it at that. But I think for the most part, they'll be all right. He's a fantastic talent. I'm a humongous Jacob Fatu fan. For those of you who listened to The Weekender, you all know that by now. We've covered him for years for his MLW run. But, we cover all of his indie stuff as well. He's been performing somewhat regular in GCW before he pretty clearly has gotten signed by the WWE. But I say all this because he won't be the only one. I think Zilla Fatu will eventually sign. And I think a dark horse is Juicy Finau, who I don't know if he technically is in that family. But although, I mean, Haku technically isn't either, which makes Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa technically not in the bloodline. But, they're considered family. I could see them kind of running that loophole with Juicy Finau, because Juicy can kind of be they're like Rikishi or Yokozuna, they're the heavy of the group, who doesn't even have to wrestle that much, just huge, and just does enough to be intimidating. That all said, moving on, we had Microman over Alex Zane. Microman continues to not lose matches in GCW, and the fans absolutely love him, and Alex Zane is the man for the way he can just make people look amazing. I mean, not that, Microman's awesome, don't get me wrong, but there's a way that this has to be done. You know what I mean? There's a way that these matches have to be done. When there's a size discrepancy that's this huge between Microman and pretty much anyone else he's going to wrestle, especially with people with such credibility like Alex Zane, for him, for both people involved, they made it work. We'll just put it that way. And Microman, like I said, he's the most over guy in the company when he's out there. We had the GCW tag titles on the line. Violence is Forever. Dominic Green and Kevin Koo defend and retain their titles over Ariel Vango and Bobby Flacco, Hunter Drake and Rico Gonzalez, and the main event team of Jay Lyon and Midas Black. I'm going to talk a little bit more about Jay Lyon when it comes to the HOG results. Cool to see Hunter Drake and Rico Gonzalez, the former Heartbreak Killers. I guess technically still Heartbreak Killers. It depends on how deep you want to go with on the lore of New South Wrestling. But it's great seeing those guys. I'm a huge Bobby Flacco fan as well. Air Van Gogh, super innovative. But as y'all know, Violence is Forever, Dominic Green and Kevin Koo, my favorite tag team in the world. And I'll talk a little bit more about Koo and the BLP results. We had Joey Janela over Mio Yamashita. We had a last man standing match where Effie and Mance Warner went to a no contest. This has been happening with a lot of their matches, with there being really no winner at the end, but it makes sense because of the story. Even the I Quit match, technically Mance Warner won, but it was mainly because Effie was saving Alley Catch. So this is just building and building and building and building. And the way that this one basically ended was Effie just beats the hell out of Mance. I mean, they beat the hell out of each other throughout the match. They're bleeding. Effie is hitting Mance repeatedly in the back with this crutch. Mance is on the ground in the ring, and Effie's covering him in lighter fluid. And he's about to set him on fire, and the referee just gets in the way, and they pull him back, and Mance just winds up leaving. But, eventually Mance Warner is going to win this GCW championship. And I thought this was going to happen at spring break. But the more that I think, so what I thought was going to happen at spring break for the longest time, and I talked about it here a lot, I thought that Joey Janela was going to beat Blake Christian for the GCW world title. And then right after that, Mance Warner was going to come out and win the championship from Joey Janela, which is similar to Tommy Dreamer when he won the ECW championship. Immediately lost to Just Incredible. that didn't happen. But now I'm thinking that eventually, and I'll talk, well, I don't want to spoil the main event results if you don't know this yet, so I'll circle back around to this. Main event of the show, we have the GCW World title on the line. Blake Christian defends and retains over Danhausen. Missy Hyatt is in the corner of Blake Christian. Initially, Danhausen wins the match. Like, he just straight up wins. He uses, basically, the Blake Christian and Missy Hyatt trying to use her loaded purse backfires, and Danhausen uses it on Blake Christian, knocks him out cold, and pins him for the 1-2-3. Danhausen, we all think, has won the GCW World title. He's celebrating, the crowd's going nuts, commentary's going nuts. I think the show's about to end. And then this is why I said it was important that Cardona is the GM, because Matt Cardona comes out and he restarts the match because of basically the cheating. And immediately Blake Christian hits Danhausen with the purse when the ref isn't looking and just pins him for the 1-2-3. So Blake Christian retains again by just the lowest of the low, resorting to just the lowest of the low, I should say. And now that I've got that out of the way, let me get back to Effie and Mance. Now what I'm thinking is Effie is going to be the one to beat Blake Christian, and then Mance Warner is going to beat Effie. I just feel like eventually, like whenever Mance wins this thing, because he can cash it in at any time, like a Money in the Bank, where like it could be in any situation, and you're just going to take advantage of the best spot. And maybe Effie eventually beats Mance for the title to like to win it for real, I guess. I don't know, but Mance Warren is eventually going to be the champion. I'm pretty darn sure about that. It's just a matter of when they want to pull the trigger on that. And Blake Christian, already longtime heel champion, and I doubt it's going to be Mance beating Blake for it. So you also have Cole Radrick out there with the brass ring, which he can technically use at any time to get a GCW world title shot, but there's also a chance he could use it for the tag titles, for the Garbage Daddies, maybe to be the ones to take down VIF eventually. So there's a lot of options there, but once again, big show from GCW. Moving on to the next results from GCW, we have Gringo Loco's The World on Lucha 2024. This show took place out of Jersey City, New Jersey. This was on Cinco de Mayo yesterday, May the 5th. Also available, of course, on Triller TV Plus. We had a six-person scramble match where Jordan Oliver defeats Ariel Van Gogh, Alec Price, Bobby Flacco, Broski Jimmy, and Azriel. We had the JCW World title on the line. Masha Slamovich defends and retains over Dulce Tormenta. We had Joey Janela over Mascarita Dorata. We had Cole Radrick over Damus. It was cool because during the Cole's match, y'all know I'm a big Cole Radrick mark. He's become one of my better friends, kind of like in wrestling. You know, full transparency. I think people make, you know, that's pretty obvious at this point. If you watch the spotlight, he's been on the show the most as a guest, either him or Moes, and everyone knows him, but it's with Moes. But yeah, great to see all the success that Cole has had. And Cole's somebody I met like just, you know, a handful of years ago. I was a fan of his, a fan of his work. You know, as a wrestler, I was a fan of his. And, you know, just good guy. Guy I'm always pulling for. Very unassuming guy, you know what I mean? Like, does not look like a professional wrestler. He looks like such an everyday guy, but he's so good in the ring. And he's so good to get the crowd behind him. And the reason I say all this is because there was a lot of Cole Radrick's my favorite wrestler. Cole Radrick's my favorite wrestler. Chance going on during this match, which you love to hear it. After that, we had Effie over Pimpinella Escalarta. We had Mike Bailey, Speedball Mike Bailey, over Galeno Del Mal. And the main event of the show, we had Los Desperados, the team of Gringo Loco and Arez, over Aramis and Jack Cartwheel. Moving on, have results for BLP, the showdown at the Shoreline. This show took place also on Triller TV Plus. This was in Michigan City, Indiana, on May the 5th, so yesterday at the time of this recording. And I believe I saw pictures. I think Sean Ross Sapp was there live. He didn't appear on screen. Rest in peace to Sean's grandmother, of course. You know, thoughts out to Sean. I know he's going going through it right now, and you know, thoughts are out there to him. You know what I mean? I've reached out privately, you know, let him know I was thinking about him as kind of the news came out of what he was dealing with and what she had been dealing with and stuff. So I know it's something that, you know, I know that it was a struggle for quite a while, and I feel very, very terrible that anyone has to go through any of that, and then the loved ones and stuff. I just, you know, so anyway, I think Sean was just there having a good time, but I do not think he made any on screen appearances, at least that I can remember seeing on this show. But it was cool to see that he was backstage, if I do remember correctly. I'm pretty sure I saw pictures of him backstage. That's how not on social media I am. It's like I glance at stuff and then I'm like, just move on to, you know, the rest of my life. All right, we got the results here. First match we had was Latino's Most Wanted, Kota Hernandez and Sabin Gage, over Eli Isom and Heather Reckless. We had Trevor Outlaw over Davey Vega. Trevor Outlaw, I showed my brother the clip of him hitting himself in the nuts with the confetti gun from the Cluster F from a few years ago, which if you haven't seen that, seek that out. It is fantastic. Outlaw wasn't even in the match. He was on the entrance ramp as a fan, pretty much. And he had this confetti popper turned backwards and legitimately didn't realize this and hit himself right in the nuts with these things. It was so funny. Davey Vega, by the way, been a big fan of his for a long time. He was a part of, I can't remember the second name that they had, but the Besties in the World is how I always remember them. But Davey Vega, Besties in the World, I used to see them often at Glory Pro and all over the indie scene. So two guys that I still feel like are really underrated, Trevor Outlaw and Davey Vega. We had Araboy over El Manique, a.k.a. Caleb Conley, playing Manic, a.k.a. the former Suicide. Choose Your Own Adventure, that the whole lore of Suicide slash Manic and all the people that have been in that suit. We had Gaston LaRue, Percy Drews, and Vinny Pacifico over Dominic Greeny, Sidney Von England, and Zay Garcia. Shout out to my boy Vinny Pacifico, hooked it up recently, sent me a whole bunch of G Fuel. That stuff is probably a big reason why I didn't do anything on Cinco de Mayo, to be honest. I wound up drinking a lot of G Fuel when I woke up, and then I wound up gaming Stick of Truth for like the whole day. And now that I think about it like this, like that's exactly what wound up happening. Like the G Fuel had me gaming, so thanks Vinny for that. And our boy Dominic Greeny also in this match, you know. How can you go wrong? Good stuff from everybody involved. After that, we had Rico Gonzalez over Calibus, Jake Something over Danhausen, the BLP Arbos Cheese Dip Big Cheese title four-way match. Such a mouthful. That's so Mikey Blanton. We had Rachel Armstrong defend and retain over Aaliyah James, Maggie Lee, and Charlotte McKenzie. We had Joshua Bishop over Dex Royal. Joshua Bishop with the win with a sit-out Bishop bomb. Trip to exit 187. I believe it's 187 is the exit that they're always referencing for him. Anyway, Bishop bomb. Outsider's Edge into a sit-up power bomb. Love it. Just tick-tock, tick-tock. Just a matter of time before Joshua Bishop is a household name. I've been saying it for years, but it will happen. I just know it. After that, we had the BLP tag team titles on the line. Bang and Matthews, the former Bang Bros, August Matthews and Davey Bang, defend and retain their titles over the highlight reel team of Damian Reel and Damon Reel. We had Billy Starks over Myron Reed. In the main event of the show, we had the BLP heavyweight title on the line. Kevin Koo defends and retains over Flamita. Finish of this one was Koo hitting a fisherman buster, Flamita kicking out, Q immediately doing a buzzsaw kick, and then following up with a, I always call it the God's Last Gift, because I saw Tyler Black, aka Seth Rollins, using the move in Ring of Honor. You can also call it a small package driver. Q's version of it is kind of like a stalling fisherman small package driver, if that makes sense. But that said, Kevin Q defends and retains over Flamita. They shake hands after the match, and Flamita puts the title around Q's waist to end the show. Moving on, got results for HOG, H-O-G, House of Glory, Cinco de Mayo. This show took place on Cinco de Mayo. from New York City, New York. This is available on Triller TV Plus. Some familiar faces in like the YouTube social media space. JD from NY, if you're a fan of his, whether you love him or you hate him, he was on commentary for this show. Also, Jason Solomon, the Saw Monster. In my opinion, I'll just say it, probably my favorite person that covers wrestling in like any kind of podcast form that isn't a wrestler themselves. Like, especially like outside of Fightful. You know, I love the Fightful team, everyone here. I'm super grateful to be, to have the Weekender podcast, have the spotlight, to do the post shows for the pay-per-views for TNA and stuff. Like, I think Fightful is like the best place to listen, to be a part of this community. I love everything we do here at Fightful. But if you were to ask me like one person outside of Fightful that I would highly recommend checking their stuff out, Jason Solomon's been doing this stuff forever, and I think he's fantastic. I remember his stuff back in like 2010, like that long ago. Like, and he was probably, I think he was doing audio only podcasts back probably around the time I was graduating college, honestly, back in like 2006, 2007. I really want to say around like 2010 or so is like when he got on my radar. It's been that long. I've never talked to the guy. We have a lot of mutual friends. And now that I'm saying all this out loud, I should reach out and see if he wants to do an interview on the spotlight sometime. Cause I love listening to the Saw Monster. He's the best in my opinion. He really is. So he was on commentary for this show as well. We had the results, which are as follows. We got Dana Garcia and Isaiah Cassidy over Aerostar and Inframundo. We had the HOG Cruiserweight title on the line, Casey Navarro over Raheem Royal. We had the HOG Women's World title on the line, the Ultraviolet defends and retains over Sexy Star. We had the Lucha de Apuestas match where Charles Mason and Jay Lyon went to a no contest. Basically, what winds up happening to cause the no contest is Jay Armani and Raheem Royal come out and attack Jay Lyon along with Charles Mason, and the match basically gets thrown out. But even more importantly is after the beatdown, Mason, Royal, and Armani tear Lyon's mask apart. I mean, they straight up unmask him. Like, you see pretty much the full face of Jay Lyon as they rip that thing off. That said, I wouldn't hate the idea of Jay Lyon losing the mask completely. I think that the main event does great work as a tag team. I think Jay Lyon does great singles work as well. Gets booked often, and he's heavily featured in like all the companies that he performs consistently in. But I also have always wondered like if the mask and if the gimmick is holding him back at all. I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Maybe that's a big reason why he's getting booked as often as he is, because of the gimmick and because of the mask and everything. I don't know. But it just made me think. I was like, if they were going to unmask him for real, like for good going forward, this would be a big step in that direction if they're going to do that. After that, we have the HOG heavyweight title on the line. Mike Santana defends and retains over Psycho Clown. Towards the end of this match, Psycho Clown hits a Spanish fly off the top rope, which I thought was going to be the 1-2-3, but Santana kicked out at 2. The finish was Psycho Clown coming off the top rope and Santana avoiding it and following up with a discus lariat for the 3 count to retain the title. And the main event of the show, we had Penta over Laredo Kid. Finish of this one was a float over into a package pile driver by Penta onto Laredo for the 1-2-3. So once again, that was HOG, H-O-G, House of Glory, whatever you want to call it. That is Cinco de Mayo. It's available once again on Triller TV Plus. Moving on, got results for Glory Pro Wrestling Ascend episode 34. Episode 35, it just dropped within like the last day, but I'll be recording the next episode of the weekend or before episode 36. So we'll get all caught up by next weekend, if that all makes sense. So we're going to cover episode 34 right now, 35 next week, and then 36 the week after. This show aired on April 28th, so last weekend, and it's available for free on the Glory Pro YouTube channel. First match was Maggie Lee over Lady Bird. The finish here was a stack pin with the feet on the ropes for Maggie to get the win, and then they brawl to the back afterwards. After that, we had the Road Warrior Cup semifinal match, where PME defeated the New Guys. PME, of course, Marino Tenaglia and Philly Collins. They beat the New Guys of Jake Bosch and Scott Stanley. The finish of this one was Sunset Dreams by PME for the 1-2-3. Basically like a flatliner, like a 3D flatliner instead of like a 3D into like a diamond cutter, how you do a 3D. It was like, it's like that, but a flatliner. I feel like I explain that every time I talk about the Sunset Dreams is, because I'm trying to like paint a picture if this happens to be the first time you're listening to the Weekender. But they use this move like every match. So Sunset Dreams, 1-2-3. After that, we had the main event of the show, a last one standing match, which is essentially a last man standing match. First person who cannot answer the 10 count is the loser. This is Calvin Tankman defeating Camaro Jackson. The finish of this one was Tankman hitting a attitude adjustment off of the ring apron through two stacked tables. And Camaro cannot stand up before the referee counts the 10. So Calvin Tankman wins the last one standing match. Once again, that is Glory Pro Ascend episode 34. Check it out for free on the Glory Pro YouTube channel, and I will get y'all caught up on episode 35. But if you want to watch episode 35 before I talk about it, it's available already right now on that same Glory Pro YouTube channel for free. Moving on, got some quick results for you for Wrestling Open episode 122. This show took place out of the White Eagle in Worcester, Massachusetts. This also technically Beyond Wrestling, I would just Beyond Wrestling, Wrestling Open. And they have shows all the time, you know, on independentwrestling.tv. So check out IWTV, use code Fight Talk, watch some Wrestling Open. We had a dark match where Ricky Smokes defeated Jake Gray. On the actual show, we had Brad Baylor along with Ricky Smokes on the outside over Jermaine Marbury, who had Benny the Basketball on the outside. We had Jay George and Percy Ryan over 50 Cal and CPA in a tag team match. Bryce Donovan over Eric Chaka. We had Richard Holiday over Fancy Ryan Clancy. Both of these guys have gone through some real adversity. Holiday overcoming cancer. You know, a lot of people following that, you know, as that was going on. And Holiday is somebody I have massive respect for, you know, fighting and then overcoming and being at where he's at now. Very, very inspiring. Also very inspiring for Ryan Clancy, who I did not know until I just saw a clip surface. You know, I've been watching Ryan wrestle for quite a while, mainly for Wrestling Open. And I never knew this until I just saw a clip surface like today, him doing like a podcast and talking about, apparently he was in a wheelchair for a couple years due to like a neurological issue. And now he wrestles, you know, and I would have never known that there was anything like that he had suffered from. And I mean, it just goes to show you just never know what people are going through and what they're dealing with. You know, you just see someone walk by, or you just make eye contact with, you know, a stranger, or, you know, whatever. You see a wrestler you like or you don't like or whatever. You make, you know, these judgments on people, and you just never know what they're dealing with. So got a lot of love for both Richard Holiday and Ryan Clancy, two people who've overcome a lot of adversity. And I'd imagine they're not the only people on the show who've gone through stuff. You know what I mean? Like I said, you just never know what people are dealing with. After that, you had Little Mean Kathleen, LMK, over Maya World. We had the IWTV Independent Wrestling World Tag Team Title Number One Contender match, where the Shook Crew, the team of Bobby Orlando and Max Caster, defeated the Prodigal Sons, the team of Lucas Chase and Sammy Diaz. We had Alec Price and TJ Crawford, who had Brad Hollister on the outside. They go to a 10-minute time limit draw. Both guys super talented. I mean, y'all know how I feel about Alec Price, one of my favorites in the world. TJ Crawford, super talented, super athletic, super bright future, somebody who I don't highlight enough, and it's mainly because of the shows that we cover here on the Weekender. He's just not on them as often as a lot of the others that we talk about so much. But always happy to see TJ Crawford out there doing his thing. Once again, super talented, very slept on. And the main event of the show, we had Desmond Cole and the Miracle Generation, the team of Dustin Waller and Kylan King. They defeat the Stetson Ranch combination of Danny Miles, Hammer Tunis, and Steven Stetson. Moving on, got results for NXT Level Up. This show aired on May 3rd, 2024. I recommend watching it on Hulu because that's where I watch it at. And this was pretty much par for the course. You know, three matches on this episode. First one, we had Eddie Thorpe over Cale Dixon. Thorpe gets the win after an elbow drop followed up with an impaler for the 1-2-3. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Love the impaler as a finisher. Love Eddie Thorpe using it. Loved when he used it on the in New Japan as Carl Fredericks. So I'm a big fan of everything Eddie Thorpe's doing on the show. I think that he can have a very, very, very bright future in the WWE. After that, we had Kalani Jordan over Kendall Gray. Finish of this one was a split-legged moonsault by Jordan for the three count. And then the main event of the show, we had Javon Evans over Riley Osborne. The young OG, Javon Evans, who I was a big fan of on the indie scene. He had a very fast come up. Super, super athletic. I'm very happy I got to see him live at places like Battle Slam before he got signed, because I think he's going to be in the WWE for a long time, unless something crazy happens. I just think that, I mean, the way he's able to get over with the fans and how innovative he is, with this new generation at the WWE, with like the new leadership and the new ideas and everything they're doing right now, he could be a real player in this company for years. I think he won't be on Level Up long, and he'll make a big splash on NXT, and before you know it, he'll probably be on Raw or SmackDown, just dazzling the audience. I'm a very big fan of everything that has to do with this dude. Also, big fan of Riley Osborne. Javon Evans defeats Riley Osborne in this one, as I mentioned. But what's interesting here is, for those of you who have listened to the show for a long time, I'm not going to say that someone... Between this, the spotlight, and the show I used to do live rounds with my buddy Doug on the RVD Tito for Life YouTube channel, I said quite a few times that if I was the WWE, I would hire Jack Cartwheel and I would put him in Chase U as like the cheerleader of Chase U, as like the male cheerleader of Chase U. And Riley Osborne is basically the gimmick that I pitched for Jack Cartwheel, because not only is Riley Osborne basically playing the character that I like envisioned for Jack Cartwheel for the most part with like his presentation and stuff, he's also doing like Cartwheel reversals and stuff. I mean, I'm like, this is Jack Cartwheel. Like, I and here's the thing, I like Riley Osborne. I think that Riley Osborne is very talented. And I have nothing against Riley or the WWE. Like, I like that he's being featured, and I think that Evans and Osborne is really the best of what Level Up represents. But I can't get over seeing that and just being like, I wrote this for Jack Cartwheel, and Riley Osborne is getting that. They're doing it for him. It's just wild seeing it kind of play out in front of my eyes. But Evans gets the win after there's like a bunch of pinfall reversals, and Evans eventually six Osborne for the 1-2-3. But the reason I say that this is perfect example of what Level Up is all about is because these are two guys, Evans being even newer to the company than Osborne, but Evans just in like a few months getting his reps on this show has gotten very over to the point where like he was the biggest star on this episode for sure. And I think, you know, Eddie Thorpe is up there. He's done really well and stuff like that. But like crowd reactions and potential for the future and stuff, I think Evans, like getting the reps on this show is why he's as over as he is, because he's been able to be exposed to this crowd and just go out there and do his thing on these Level Up episodes. And Riley Osborne's a guy who's been with the WWE for a little while now and part of Chase U, and like his character keeps evolving, and he's already very good in the ring. You know, it's two guys who actually benefit greatly from getting reps on this show. And they're both going to have big careers, I think, in the WWE. So check it out, NXT Level Up. Watch it on Hulu. And the last set of results we got here, we got NWA Power. This show aired on April 30th. It's available on the CW app and on their website. These are the results. We have the Kids, the team of Alexander Lev and Jackson Drake, over the Slime Balls, team of Sage, Chance, and Tommy Rant. We had a Last Call match where AJ Kazana defeated Anthony Andrews. And then the main event of the show was a steel cage match where Knox and Murdoch defeated the Southern Six combination of Kerry Morton and Alex Taylor, who had Ricky Morton on the outside. This, I actually thought, was a pretty darn good cage match. Given the expectations that I have, and that I feel like my expectations are actually higher than most fans probably. Considering the usually low expectations people go into NWA shows with, I think this match was pretty damn good. Like, good storytelling. It played out. You had stuff happening where, like, Smalls came out and, like, did a move off the top, and it brought out, like, Rolando Freeman. I almost said Perez because that's his indie name. It brought out, like, the Freeman and stuff like that. And, you know, so there was stuff going on outside the ring. The match, the only thing that was kind of weird is, like, the match cut to black and white, like, three quarters of the way through, because once there was blood, I guess they didn't want to show the in color with, like, the red blood and stuff. So everything turned black and white towards, like, the end of the match, which was a little strange. But they had, like, I honestly thought they had, like, really good camera angles for this thing. And, like, the match wasn't, like, a five-star classic or anything like that, but it was for the story that they've built and they're trying to tell, and for the company that this is happening in, I think that the production value was well done. I think the match was well done. I think the right team won. In the actual finish of the match, Trevor Murdoch is trying to escape the cage from the door, and Ricky Morton's on the outside trying to swing that door into his face, as we've seen happen a trillion times in, you know, cage matches and war games matches and stuff like that. And Murdoch just kind of, like, sees it coming, so he blocks the door swinging at him and just swings it back at Morton and knocks Morton over, and Murdoch jumps out, and that's how they won. I mean, like I said, I thought it was a solid cage match for the main event of NWA Power. And I believe the next time we talk about NWA, I could be wrong, but I think the next time we talk about this, we'll have already seen EC3 versus Silas for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. So Thrill Billy versus EC3, I'm pretty sure, is coming up by the time we record this again. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it is. So I'll give you my thoughts on that when we get there. But until then, appreciate y'all for listening to the Fightful Select Weekender podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Please hit the like button here on FightfulSelect.com. Please follow me on X at @FightTalk_. Please watch the Spotlight every Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Myself and Jeremy Lambert talk AEW, WWE, indie wrestling, a whole bunch of stuff, and we interview people. We had Moe's on the most recent episode of the podcast. We have Justin Wang from the YouTube channel Wang. If you're unfamiliar with him, become familiar. He's one of the biggest YouTubers, probably the biggest YouTuber that we've interviewed. Legit OG guy that I've been a fan of for a very long time. Has a lot of great wrestling content and a lot of just weird, dark, deep web, internet lore videos and stuff too. It's a real rabbit hole, that guy's channel. But he has a lot of wrestling content, as I mentioned, and he just dropped a Necro Butcher versus Samoa Joe video this past week. So I'm really looking forward to interviewing Wang, and that should be up for y'all on Thursday as well. So appreciate y'all once again. I've been Steven Jensen. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.